And the challenge that we put out there to the community is please hack this agent. And there is like 100,000 sats in the wallet, and it goes up because you have to pay if you chat with the agent. Obviously, then the bounty increases. You realize also what tactics are people applying to trick this agent, right? And of course, this agent is also needs to learn and adjust like how people try to scam them. And there definitely, so a few people managed to do it. And with this knowledge, we also improved the instructions again, trained the agent better. And this helps us also to make now our tools better, right? And now if you, for example, give your agent a wallet, you can be sure that a lot of these things are incorporated.
Bitcoin is a currency on the internet.
If you don't trust any other currency, this is where you go.
It's going to outperform everything.
Bitcoin could eventually be worthless.
Every day is a good day to buy Bitcoin.
Bitcoin reached its highest price to date.
Bitcoin hitting a new high.
It really has reached escape velocity.
There is no second best.
Who cares about Bitcoin?
It's the only secure database that's ever been invented.
Antisocial.
Bitcoin is the real deal.
Stupid.
Everything is bullish for Bitcoin.
Immoral.
It's going up forever, Laura.
Fix the money. Fix the world.
WireWork is a registered investment advisor, and the opinions expressed on the show are their own and do not reflect the opinions of the Silk LLC. Joining this as a CPA, and the opinions expressed on the show are their own and do not reflect the opinions of trusted CPA or other affiliated firms. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk, and unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Information expressed does not take into account your specific situation or objectives and is not intended as a recommendation appropriate for any individual. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Any statements or opinions are subject to change without notice.
Welcome to Bitcoin for Financial Services Media, the podcast where sound money meets professional services. We explore how to build a financial services industry within the principles, values, and ethos of Bitcoin. A big part of that is our flagship event coming up in Denver from October 20th through 22nd. Legacy finance is being rebuilt in real time, and Bitcoin is at the center of it. The Bitcoin Financial Services Summit brings together the people actually building the infrastructure, RIAs, lenders, CPAs, miners, treasury companies, and Bitcoin native operators all in one room. If you want to understand where Bitcoin finance is going next, get your tickets now at bffs.media/summit. Looking forward to seeing you there. We're joined by special guest Moritz, co-founder of Elbi. Let's get started. Welcome back to Bitcoin for Financial Services Media Podcast. Joined by a very special guest here today, Moritz, co-founder of Elbi. How are you doing, man?
Hey, great to be here. Thanks a lot for the invitation.
Dude, are you kidding? The pleasure is ours. You guys are doing some really interesting stuff. I'm excited to get into it. But before we do, why don't you just give the audience a little bit of background on yourself?
Sure. I'm Moritz, co-founder of Elbi. By training, I'm basically from the business and financial side of things. I studied banking and finance, worked in venture capital, and then I did some early research on the Lightning Network, worked for a small venture fund called Vulgar Ventures, and came across this awesome open source project Elbi, and then we made a company out of it and building cool stuff there.
That's amazing. Very good for you. You know, a lot of folks don't actually jump from the venture capital world to start building things. They just kind of like to tell other people how to build things. So that's awesome.
It's true. But you know, like, you are surrounded by very like all these entrepreneurs all the time, and you have then also at some point so many ideas, and because of this inspiration of all the people around you, you really want to give it a shot yourself at some point.
Totally. No, it's super infectious. I always try to encourage people to entertain at the very minimum an entrepreneurial journey at some point in their life. Obviously being around other entrepreneurs helps with that a lot. So that's very cool. I'm super fascinated to get more into what you guys are doing at Elbi, but you know, I would say about half our audience is fairly new to Bitcoin. They want to learn more about it. learn about the different, you know, tools, products, and strategies out there that they can kind of deploy from, you know, an advisor seat, how to talk to their clients about Bitcoin. So why don't we do some level setting on the Lightning Network first? Maybe you can just kind of explain to them what that is and then how you guys interact with it.
Yeah, sure. So the Lightning Network itself is basically a layer on top of Bitcoin that, you know, like the Bitcoin blockchain, where you have these 10 minutes settlements of transactions. And that obviously is a bit of a no-go if you want to do like payments, and especially like instant payments, payments with lower fees. And that's why people came up with the Lightning Network. It's an open protocol now and basically inherits the security of the Bitcoin blockchain. And we leverage it basically to make payments or Bitcoin payments accessible for everybody, like consumers, businesses, merchants, developers. But you can also still use Bitcoin on-chain with our tools. But that's basically what Lightning is. It enables you like these instant payments, really a lot smaller fees than on-chain, and therefore also micropayments. And that's really like another innovation when it comes to the Lightning Network, that you can do. You can send around like fractions of a cent across the globe, which is not possible with Bitcoin, like on chain.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I've been, you know, Lightning observer and, you know, supporter most of the time. If I'm sending, you know, Bitcoin to somebody, especially if it's, you know, smaller amounts, buying something at the farmer's market sort of thing, it's almost always Lightning, paying back a friend for lunch or whatever. And I think the important thing to understand, or at least, you know, grok, is, you know, it's like everything in Bitcoin, it's a rabbit hole in itself. So you can go really deep down the weeds, you know, start running your own Lightning node, managing liquidity and all that stuff, you know, opportunity to actually generate revenue doing that, which we'll get into a little bit later. But importantly, you know, so open source protocol, no CEO. You know, it's no token, you know, not like some of these other, you know, we don't like saying the C word on this show, but not like some of these other crypto projects that promise a lot of the same deliverables of Lightning with all the conundrums that come with crypto.
Your wealth deserves intention. Basilic Financial is a Bitcoin-focused wealth management firm built to help our clients find balance between money and meaning. We integrate sound money strategies across four distinct personalized services: financial planning, individual wealth management, retirement services for SMBs, and Bitcoin financial services. Your prosperity, your purpose, intentionally guided at Basilic Financial. Visit our website at basilic.io to schedule a free consultation.
Right. Yeah, true. That's also one reason why we actually build on it. Because it's after all, it's still Bitcoin. It enables now Bitcoin payments. And there's also one more thing I should mention. That's privacy, which is a lot better on the Lightning Network compared to on-chain, because you do not know from whom you get the payment, basically, which is quite a benefit. Also, especially if you compare it to a lot of other, like, as you said, like crypto ecosystems that are on-chain purely, and there you really know every transaction from someone who receives it. Like merchants' accounts are basically public, which is sort of a no-go in the business world. But that's the case when we talk about other crypto on-chain ecosystems. That's not the case if you send and receive Lightning payments.
Yeah, it's super exciting, because one of the things that I get a lot of confidence from the, you know, Lightning, you know, network about is kind of one of my quick one-liners of helping people, you know, understand Bitcoin is like, okay, you know, we have this decentralized protocol. It's TikTok next block, you know, over, you know, 16 years now. It's just 17 years. It's proven itself, you know, time and time again, it does its thing. And, you know, it's this grassroots movement that's just like continues to organically grow without, you know, somebody, marketing department or whatever, pushing a narrative. And I think the Lightning Network is behaving, you know, very much in the same way. Could you kind of just take us through some of the growth in the Lightning Network? Because, you know, I know at first it was like, may have been difficult to send like $150 transaction. And now my understanding is, you know, it's handling just tons of volume.
Definitely. So I think Lightning has gone through some like really serious growth over the last years, right? And it only actually started around 2018, 2017, something like this. And since then has been growing, like a lot of wallets have been adopting it, and even apps now let you send and receive payments. So if you are interested in some like estimations, then there are definitely some good reports out there. After all, you have to say that since it's a network like oriented around privacy, the actual numbers you cannot know, right? So you can definitely survey some custodial wallets who mainly run some databases. That's a good indication. But since Lightning is like highly accessible by everybody, I would say it's everybody can join or participate in a Lightning Network with any kind of a wallet or node setup. And you cannot really know the actual numbers, like how big it is, but you can get some good, some basic estimations. And these efforts to estimate these numbers have been done by a few companies, and they are also publicly available. And they're really, really serious. And also, if you just, for example, look at Coinbase, one of the biggest exchanges, I think they are also now a considerable amount of their Bitcoin payments is already based on the Lightning Network, and it's just increasing year over year now.
Yeah, it's really fascinating and super cool, which is, you know, why I imagine you decided to start a company in the space. So why don't you kind of take us through what Albi does, kind of your guys's, you know, mission and vision and some of the problems you're solving.
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, we are Bitcoiners, obviously, but like the idea of Albi came basically from the fact, like if you look at the web, right, then it's extremely easy to share information between us via emails, messages, or just access any information on the web through a browser, right? So this information sharing is like it's just there, it's for free, right? And we thought, okay, why is there no payment method that lets me send value across the internet as easy as sharing information, right? Every payment rail is sort of like separated. If you talk about ACH or wire, it's totally separated from the internet. And then we see, okay, Bitcoin actually gives us sort of a value token that we could theoretically share because it's digitally native, right? And now if we now use it on the Lightning Network, we also have the payment rail actually that allows us to instantly share value at any like amount, micropayment or huge or larger payments, and also at any fee. It could go up to like down to like zero transaction fees. And then now that's really the interesting part, and that's why we are building on the Lightning Network. And the first product that we came out with is the Albi browser extension. So it basically teaches your browser to talk to Bitcoin or and the Lightning Network, so you can now send and receive payments in your browser and make payments on other websites. And from there we kept building, right? Because we also saw that some needs there's a need for more convenient wallets. So we've built Albi Hub, for example. It's a self-custodial wallet that you can run, which is extremely powerful because it now lets you connect your wallet to any app out there that you have. And from there also we have now Albi Go mobile app. So if you walk around and make payments in a cafe, for example, or a restaurant, then you can use AlbiGo. And the idea of Albi now is really like wherever you go and you can bring Bitcoin payments with you and make it at any like place that you visit often, for example, third-party websites, right? And apps, if you want to send a payment there, you can do that. Everything always out of your central AlbiHub wallet that you can connect to. And you don't need to spread your like precious sats across different apps and wallets and maybe forget about them, but you can now really manage it centrally and then in a self-custodial way, spend and receive Bitcoin.
Very cool. Yeah. And you know, it's so important because, you know, I talk about this in my book, but originally, you know, learn the concept from, you know, Eric Aikes and the currency maturation cycle. So, you know, currencies have to prove themselves out from a store value to medium exchange and unit of account. It's just kind of this constant back and forth in Bitcoin, like chicken and the egg problem. Do we build, you know, if you build the technology, like what you guys are doing, you'll facilitate, you know, medium exchange, like naturally, because there's, you know, good user interfaces and it's easy for people to spend money. So, obviously working very, you know, intimately kind of in the Lightning and payment space, you know, the Square rollout, POS rollout here, you know, in the US has been like a huge deal. People talking about medium exchange. Where do you think we are kind of in Bitcoin's journey here?
I'm definitely what you see is Bitcoin is mainly like, a way to invest and, savings vehicle, basically. It's not yet like this broadly adopted means of payment that we also as company actually would wish, but we are like working towards that, and we also see more and more a trend to this. But it obviously takes time, and we really, I think, as an ecosystem, have to critically ask ourselves: okay, where is Bitcoin as a payment method, like? Really 10x better than what we have with the USD, for example, or stable coins, US dollar denominated, which some of them also honestly work quite well. There are definitely also advantages to using Bitcoin payments. But I think we as ecosystem have to, yeah, better focus on these use cases where these stand out compared to others. I think overall, no, it's, you see like year over year, like constant adoption, more and more people accept and send Bitcoin payments, which is quite encouraging.
Totally. Now, I think the stat last year, the Bitcoin network itself had settled $25 trillion worth of value in 2025, which is nearly, you know, US GDP, which is insane that, you know, you have final settlement of, you know, this open source internet native protocol settling, you know, that much value. So it certainly seems like we're trending that direction. You know, I think we'll get there when we get there. Entrepreneurs, you know, like yourself have a lot to do with that. So we're appreciative of it. One of the things you kind of touched on that I'm personally interested in, you know, if I put on like, you know, my tech bro thinking cap that I'm trying to see, you know, around the corner is kind of, you know, tangential to the Nostr protocol, right? Like, you know, I can verify I am who I say I am because, you know, I sign, you know, this transaction, you know, I'm assuming like that's the use case I'm most intimate with in kind of like a social media setting. But I think, you know, that concept will really, you start proliferating in the future with all these, you know, deep fakes and AI bots. And, you know, we'll get into that more here in a second. But, you know, when I was new to the Nostr protocol, you know, somebody told me add the, you know, LB extension, you can have your keys in there, you know, it'll be easy to sign on. So what do you think of kind of my broad brushstrokes there of this kind of cryptographic future where you know, your social security number's not worth anything because, you know, it's been released a million times. It's not actually that great of a way to identify, like, you are who you say you are sort of thing. Like, why don't you kind of walk the audience through what you think that future holds?
Definitely. So I think, so what you describe is a little bit like the web of trust, right? So like someone assigns you some like credentials, and then the other person who receives those credentials from you basically needs to judge themselves. Okay, how like are they worth or worth enough for me? Do I believe these credentials? And if they come from a reputable issuer, then you probably do that. And the interesting thing with Noster, the general mechanics are there to do exactly that, now let you also there is no gatekeeper who could prevent you from doing that. And that's the interesting thing with Noster. You have the basic mechanism signatures, and then you can create basically an identity out of that. What exactly this identity is, that's totally up to you, and that's totally up to the issuer and also to the person who looks at your profile, at your Noster profile. It can be your social security number, but it doesn't have to be. It could also be just like a collection of your Noster posts, right? So maybe for people who do not know what Noster in general is, I think it's what you mainly see today is just one part, right? It's just one use case, which is this social network. The social network of people participating with their private keys, signing messages in a way like you can do today on X or Facebook and post them somewhere, have interactions, share images. That's all what you could do. But now in a decentralized way where you have no company basically storing all your data. Right. So you can run your own sort of data server, which is called a relay there, and then help distribute the information across all Noster participants. And that's really encouraging. And you see a lot of these social media apps right now. And the web of trust will be very, very interesting because you will see a lot more like with all the hypes of around AI. There will be a lot more bots and agents on the web, and they will also like impersonate you or others. And then you definitely need a way to distinguish, okay, who is this person actually? Is that some, like, can I trust this person or not? And then a way to share this information like you have on with Noster is a very promising, application.
Yeah, it's super interesting. I don't know exactly now how all the details are gonna play out, but that's kind of the direction, you know, I see us, you know, heading, especially like confidential, you know, client information. Are you sharing information? Just making sure it's like the person on both sides of a whatever type of transaction doesn't need to be, you know, monetary, like can verify it's like, okay, you are who you say you are. I think that's very important. I appreciate you guys helping build that future. But I want to stop tiptoeing around it because AI is all the rage here. We're going to talk about, you know, quite a few different, you know, angles as it pertains to Bitcoin and AI. But specifically, I kind of want to start with agents and, you know, micropayments, you know, specifically. I know you've done a ton of work on what you think this future holds, building products to you know, make it easy for agents to you know, spend Bitcoin, which I want you to elaborate on how you guys have mm-hmm. built those tools, kind of the precipice behind that. But when OpenClaw, at least, you know, when this kind of first came on my radar, when OpenClaw came out and, you know, it was just like a white flame, you know, it was so hot and, you know, fast on social media and everybody was spinning one up. But I don't know if this is true or not. Maybe you can you know, confirm it, but I just remember seeing like, I think there was like this AI agent only Reddit where they were like talking to each other, like no humans allowed. And it came out at least on Bitcoin Twitter where, you know, they decided that, you know, Bitcoin was their preferred, you know, method of payment. I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe you could start with there and then go into what you guys are building.
Yeah, true. That was, I don't know actually the name of some OpenClaw, like Facebook, like application. Right. Right? I was like, what? Which was actually also bought by Facebook at the end, I think. That then you also see like how interesting it is for a company like Facebook to get into the space very early. There's a big hype there, and it's good. It's a hype, so it draws in a lot of like new players. And I also have to say honestly that I have never seen such an interest in crypto payments overall beyond the let's say traditional ICO NFT hypes that you had in other ecosystems around Ethereum, for example. Now there seems to be really like a serious like wave of innovation coming to payments, right? And I think Bitcoin is just perfectly positioned there because of this, like the technical benefits that we have with the Lightning Network, right? So it allows you to have instant payments at a fraction of a cent. It allows you to have extremely cheap payments down to zero sats, depending on how you configure your wallet and across the globe. And the big benefit what you see and what will be also very interesting, especially for consumers, developers, and businesses, it's the fact that it's like this allows you private transactions, which is not the case for example some US dollar stable coin on some base chain managed by Coinbase, for example. That's also the reason why more and more agents opt in to choose Bitcoin as a payment method. But after all, it's still the owner's choice, right? To how they configure their agent, which wallet they give to their agent, and then they decide which coin they want to accept. But we've seen like really big companies coming into the space. Such as AWS, for example, Cloudflare. They're all building some templates to launch agents and give them wallets. There's Stripe. Now Stripe, for example, in the US lets you accept stable coins and agentic payments as well, sort of a demo track. There is no, let's say, company really sleeping on agentic payments, which is amazing. Even MasterCard now is adding open specification to their tech stack for agentic payments. So that's it's incredible what's happening there in this space and the speed of innovation what we see. And we also just like want to see. Okay, what's the role of Bitcoin in this space, right? And we have this great advantage with our wallet that it's always online. So AlbiHub, it's a self-custodial wallet. It's designed that it's always online. And that's basically sort of the prerequisite that you give a permission to an agent. And based on this permission, an agent can now send and receive payments for all kinds of use cases. So there is, for example, on let's say a side project of ours, it's called Alan Curl. And there's a blog where we regularly post articles testing agentic use cases, right? These vary like a lot from, for example, purchasing weather data, what you could do. You can also by images, image generation. The main, pattern what you see is really you pay per use or you pay per request, which is now enabled by these micropayments, instead of subscribing to a service. You can really like shop around, and then depending on actually what you need, you can just buy this one piece based on a request, for example.
Yeah, man, it's so fascinating. And like, you know, my mind just starts running 1,000 miles an hour thinking like, what's possible and what the future holds. I'm trying to integrate AI into my back office workflows like as much as possible. It's been super fun for me as like a non-technical person, like building and utilizing these tools. And so when I'm conceptualizing this high level, so it's like, okay, obviously AI is here to stay. Agents and agent workflows are a huge part of that. You know, my personal agent, like book my flight or pay my electric bill or, you know, authorizing payments in that way. But specifically interesting too, you know, I've also seen like marketplaces where agents are working with each other to pay each other for different tasks, or, you know, I think your point on pay per use on like a token level to generate me like a very high quality image that I'm going to use in like one piece of marketing material or something. But to your point, it's like the unlock there that I think people are kind of missing is like having a network and protocol and service providers like yourself to facilitate micropayments like that. Cause what, like that image may cost me like 3 cents or something. Obviously, you know, I can't pay for a credit card like 3 cents. Like that's not economical. I can't do an ACH. I can't do a wire. So it's like these two things working together is actually like, that is like the story. That is like the unlock there. Am I kind of conceptualizing that the right way?
If you're a financial professional working with Bitcoin, you know the pain of messy CSVs, broken cost basis, and accounting tools that were never built for this asset. Bitmint fixes that. Bitmint is the Bitcoin native accounting platform built for CPAs, bookkeepers, advisors, miners, and serious Bitcoin investors. You get clean Bitcoin bank statements, reliable cost basis tracking, full reporting, and fiat integration through Plaid. No crypto talk, no workarounds, just proper accounting for the hardest money on earth. Create a free account or book a demo at bitmint.co today.
Definitely. So I think there's mainly three things that come together now. It's first of all, the capability of making micropayments, for example, on Bitcoin and the Lightning Network. Now, and that's one part. The other part is like now AI agents are actually good enough. So we've invested like 1 or 2 months and now considerably more and more. And each year you have such a jump in the quality of these agents. That's incredible, you know, like, and that's only sort of a starting point right now. I mean, it just can only get better, right? And that's fascinating. So that's the second part. Like these agents, they get a lot better, especially these LLMs behind them. And the third part is now, and why also from a business perspective, it makes more and more sense to bet on it, is the fact that the problem of network effects that you have with payments can now be overcome due to this big interest of big players in the market like Coinbase, Stripe, Google, Cloudflare, AWS, right, and MasterCard, which wasn't possible before. And now you can also create this critical network effect that you need to really like have some useful services out there that you can pay on a per request basis.
Yeah, it's so exciting. I'm really curious on your opinion, because when I say this out loud, it just sounds like funny to me. But obviously, you know, let's call it prior to 2005 for conversation's sake, like if you built a product, you obviously built it for a human, but now you guys are building products specifically for the use of AI. Like what's that like?
Yeah, that's true. That's quite interesting. So you really need to think, okay. So first of all, I mean, it's not super different to human. It's just what's often missing is the graphical interface. But at the end, you also have sort of often a markdown file with some instructions where you say, okay, do this and that, check these pages, and maybe import this data. And then what you see, for example, where some of these agents actually struggle is the different currency denominations. Like, is it now a Satoshi? Is it milli Satoshi? Because there's the official Lightning spec, for example, but then there's also sort of like the inherent spec of how wallets are actually dealing with Satoshi, because they often do not mention Meli Satoshi. And that's sometimes also for these agents quite confusing, which is sort of natural because it's also for us humans quite confusing. So currency conversion is definitely one problem that we see. That we need to train agents better, or sort of write better instructions. And what we do at Albi basically is focusing really on this to nail it, so that user have the best experience when they connect their wallet. They are in a hardened environment, basically, where they can be sure, okay, the agent understand what you write, they do the right things. They really pay this person that you specify as a human via natural language, so that it really works. That's what we're like working on, also investing a lot in. Another thing that why we have a bit more knowledge in the space is also through a lot of our prototypes. And one of them was sort of an agent with an email inbox and a wallet. And then
what could go wrong?
Yeah, exactly. So you could it was publicly available, right? Because it was available through on a website. And the challenge that we put out there to the community is, please hack this agent. And there is like 100,000 sats in the wallet, and it goes up because you have to. You have to pay if you chat with the agent, obviously, then the bounty increases. And then you realize also what tactics are people applying to trick this agent, right? And of course, this agent also needs to learn and adjust how people try to scam them. And there definitely, so a few people managed to do it. And with this knowledge, we also improved the instructions again, trained the agent better. And this helps us also to make now our tools better, right? And now if you, for example, give your agent a wallet, you can be sure that a lot of these things are incorporated and work better. So it's still like a very, very interesting field. And I think, but we are quite far and advanced in terms of wallets for agents.
No kidding. I was really impressed just scrolling through your guys' website, like what you've built, thinking through, you know, a lot of these different, you know, game theory scenarios. I think you've built in like some controls that would, you know, make me more comfortable, like spending limits, you know, my agent to rack up a huge bill or whatever. But, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it definitely seems like this is the direction, like, you guys are taking. Albi, would you say like the intersection between Bitcoin and AI workflows and agents is like your current product market fit, or like your future product market fit? Is that where you guys are pushing the chips?
So I think we have product market fit when it comes to our wallet already. But we are also like thinking, okay, what's the next use case? Where do we see real like serious and growing volume of Bitcoin payments? And our bet is the agentic world, is agentic commerce, and we've seen there also like really like stepwise like but a sustainable adoption now from people connecting their Albi wallet to an agent. Of course, you always try it out with a prototype, with some experiments, but then you also step by step might actually realize, okay, for some, there might be actually a use case that really helps me save time. For example, if now I have a wallet connected to my agent, and we believe there will be a lot more use cases in the future, especially with the adoption rate of Bitcoin now that we see in the market.
This episode is brought to you by Satoshi Pacioli, a full-service accounting and tax firm built for the Bitcoin economy. If you run a Bitcoin business, mine Bitcoin, or invest in it, you need advisors who actually understand how this industry works. Satoshi Pacioli handles bookkeeping, financial reporting, tax compliance, and strategic planning for Bitcoin-focused companies and individuals. They speak the language of Bitcoiners and help you stay compliant while building for the long term. To learn more or book a consultation, visit satoshipacioli.com.
Yeah, that's awesome. Another AI Bitcoin question I have for you, because you obviously spend a lot of time in both worlds. New narrative, hot off the press, that I've seen on Bitcoin Twitter this week. And you know, we got to be, guys like you and I got to be careful with that, because we're too busy building to get, you know, sucked into the cesspool of Bitcoin Twitter a lot of the time. But I'm seeing people talk about how, or I think try to explain some of the price action in Bitcoin right now is, you know, AI is such a powerful movement. The market still views Bitcoin as this risk on asset. There's this, you know, flight of capital flows from Bitcoin into AI. Obviously, you got SpaceX IPO, Claude or Anthropic and OpenAI IPO is likely, you know, coming this year. Do you buy into that narrative?
Not like, say, these like weekly swings, definitely not, or like even monthly swings, but sort of a short to midterm trend. I think it definitely might have some influence. As what I can see from the startup world and venture capital investors, they are, let's say, they are now focusing a lot more on AI startups than they did on Bitcoin and crypto startups. And if we extrapolate that now on other type of investors, which is, I think, sort of like would make sense, basically, then you can definitely say that due to this like broader interest in the market in AI, people also direct their investments towards and allocate that in these industries more than they've done in Bitcoin before. But it's not like any like short-term swings, and but I think it's ultimately it's positive, because AI also will give Bitcoin again more use cases, right? You might not really yet see that reflected in the price, but now actually we have more things that we can build with, and so the utility ultimately of Bitcoin will increase due to that in the long term.
So you're saying everything's good for Bitcoin?
Definitely. Definitely.
That's awesome, man. Well, and that's a nice little segue to another, you know, aspect of Lightning I'm interested in picking your brain about. I think, you know, I'm very curious in your perspective, having, you know, kind of a finance background. One of the things I'm curious about, you know, just kind of given the Lightning network and Lightning protocol in general, is you know, packaging up Lightning into different, you know, investment products. And to level set here, you know, I get sent this article about, you know, once every couple months. It's probably close to a year old now, I think, but I'm sure you saw it. But it was like Block published, you know, we have like a 9%, 10% dividend or whatever, mm-hmm. from running, you know, our Lightning node. And, you know, they're obviously a massive player in the payment space, so they're routing all this volume through their node. When you run, you know, transactions through a node, like node runners like collect a fee, and they were, you know, marketing maybe too strong of a word, but portraying this as like a dividend. As a finance guy myself, you know, building some investment products, that like I'm really curious. I'm like, okay, I mean, by the letter of the law or strict definition, that may not be true, but I get it. Like, I'm seeing where you're going with this. Like, have you put any, you know, thought into how, you know, Lightning itself gets integrated into investment products in the future?
So we definitely see quite some interest of, companies approaching us. For example, banks that are thinking about launching such a like liquidity service, or because they see and they hope for additional yield on their Bitcoin if they deploy Bitcoin on the Lightning Network. And we also already have a few really treasury companies that now run a professional routing node in order to deploy liquidity and earn yield on their Bitcoin there. So it's not like just talking, it's already happening on the Lightning Network. And like maybe for what's the interesting thing there is, so the Lightning Network basically consists of these payment channels that are open between two counterparties, and they route payments through this channel. You can imagine that a bit like a street, and you charge some sort of a toll on that, right, for actually using it. And if I send a payment, it has to go through certain channels, and the participants of this channel or the owner of the channel basically earns a fee. And this is now a way because you have to create the channel. So you allocate Bitcoin into this channel, for example, one Bitcoin, and then you can route through this one Bitcoin channel, and you earn for each transaction that's coming through this channel, you earn a sort of like a fee proportional, and also like in terms of fixed on the amount that go through this channel. And that's very attractive now if you have a lot of capital actually that you participate in this routing market on the Lightning Network, and there's definitely a chance that you earn that and have a positive return on your Bitcoin that you deploy. So that's already happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and that what is from my point of view, like the biggest unlock is, I'm a bit nerdy this way. I like thinking about this stuff, and I was like, okay, would you package this into like some sort of private credit instrument, some sort of like bond, whatever, like the TradFi, wrapper is. But the biggest benefit is like, this is actually Bitcoin on Bitcoin return and native yield. And, I have clients all the time ask me, it's like, well, how do I, generate more Bitcoin on my Bitcoin? And it's like, well, it's very hard to do. A lot of like the most popular ways would be like some sort of staking or wrapping it. And, in our book, that's not allowed. Like we don't support those kind of efforts mm-hmm. and initiatives. And so, when you go through and do due diligence on all these potential opportunities, you're actually left with like very few legitimate ways, in my opinion, at least to generate Bitcoin yield. But what you're describing that the Lightning Network natively allows and supports and aligned incentives on is just, well, I'm providing a service and value, and I'm going to get paid for that. And like, okay, well, now we have like a legitimate way to actually generate more Bitcoin on our Bitcoin. So that's what gets mm-hmm. me really excited about it.
True. I think, and like in terms of like financial constructs, what there might be some ways to do with some, I don't know, like bonds or whatever you can, how you can structure that. But what you see mainly today is, right, there's a treasury company. It's a public company, so it has some shares on some stock exchange, and it earns through price appreciation, obviously, of their treasury, but it also then generates additional yield through their operational activities, which is then often providing liquidity and to the Lightning Network and earning on the transaction fees of payments.
Totally. And I think, another important aspect of this is like, that example, I kind of call this like diversifying within Bitcoin, or, like fiat return on Bitcoin exposure, which I'm kind of dubbing like a new market that I think will, kind of last while we're in this in-between stage of store value and medium exchange, while there's both demand for dollars and Bitcoin. But unique to the Bitcoin network is like, it's Bitcoin denominated, so you don't have to worry about, this currency fluctuation or anything. So I think that's important as well. This has been awesome. But while we're coming up on time here, I kind of want to do a little bit of a rapid fire, questions with you and get your thoughts on kind of like some random things I've been thinking about in the Lightning space. But What do you think are kind of the some of the biggest markets slash most untapped opportunities in the Lightning ecosystem right now?
So from a business perspective, it's a little bit hard to say, but I definitely think like some sort of restricted sectors, gaming, for example, peer-to-peer wagering, maybe also in the area of like Mariana, like who struggles getting a bank account. I think that's where Bitcoin is just like has a great fit, I personally think.
Totally. And then what do you think are some of the most beneficial ways like entrepreneurs, you know, regardless of you know, what industry you work on can benefit from Lightning?
I think first and foremost, like there are a lot of tools out there, wallets out there that let you accept Bitcoin as a payment method. There's a growing community and user segment of people spending their Bitcoin. So definitely you should add it to the stack of payments that you accept, I think. And then there is also the way of, be more engaged in the Lightning Network, for example, as a routing node with the potential to earn more Bitcoin on your activities.
Okay. As it stands, we're recording here on June 4th in the year of our Lord 2026. Do you think Bitcoin adoption is like a marketing awareness problem or like a tool and product and user interface problem?
I guess it's both. Since Bitcoin is like there is no founder behind, right? So it's sort of it's a movement of all of us, and there is no marketing department that pushes Bitcoin on top of the agenda of others, like you see with other crypto ecosystems or all these, like for example, Circle stablecoins, Tether stablecoins. So it's definitely also an awareness problem that Bitcoin has, but it's also honestly, for some cases, still also a use case problem. People, people do not know sometimes how to use their Bitcoin, right? And that's also because maybe some merchants do not yet accept Bitcoin. But I think that will naturally solve over time. But I think we can also push that more if we come up with more use cases that are interesting, for example, in the agentic payment world.
Excellent. And then lastly here, how do you think, or what do you think are some of the most effective ways for finance professionals to communicate the benefits of Bitcoin to their clients?
I think I think the digital gold narrative is very, very strong. So it's, gold is, it's a huge part of every person's portfolio, to one degree or another through one or the other vehicle. But if you just look at Bitcoin and compare it to gold, there are a lot more benefits to Bitcoin in terms of the visibility, like verifiability, storage and such. So that's why I think Bitcoin as a digital gold narrative will step by step also replace gold with similar properties instead of when it comes to long-term conservation of value.
Moritz, this has been awesome, man. I'm super appreciative of your time, your wealth of knowledge. I really appreciate you giving myself and our audience a sneak peek behind, under the hood and what you guys are building and your thoughts on the ecosystem. Any final thoughts, things that we didn't get to?
No, first of all, thanks a lot for this opportunity coming on your show. it's a pleasure. No, for everybody, do not be afraid of trying out Lightning in the one way or the other. I think it just adds a lot of knowledge and also confidence to you using Bitcoin as everyday money.
That's amazing. And where can the audience find you and your work?
Just go to getalbi.com. You find all our products there and also how we work, who we are. Check it out.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, sir. It was a pleasure having you, and I'm looking forward to chatting in here again.
Likewise. Talk soon.
Thanks. We appreciate you joining us. If you want to help build the future of Bitcoin and financial services, hit subscribe, leave a review, sign up for a newsletter, and share this with someone in your network who's integrating Bitcoin into their practice. If you work in finance and want to understand how Bitcoin is changing wealth management, lending, custody, retirement planning, and custodial capital formation, you need to be at the Bitcoin Financial Services Summit October 20th through 22nd in Denver at The Space. We're bringing together some of the smartest operators in the industry for practical conversations focused on what's actually working today. Register now at bffs.media/summit. The more professionals we reach, the stronger this ecosystem becomes and our clients are better served. Stay sharp, stay sovereign, keep leaning from the front.